feel like we nearly got "I pray that in James's name" just then. So that's actually point number one. That is a move we're going to be making as a church. That's a soundbite, isn't it? You can imagine. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely, lovely to be with you here in a morning. I think I know most of you, all of you. If you don't know me, my name is James. It's the end of the summer holidays, isn't it? Oh, I know some people, their summer holidays are about to start. Glenn and Lisa, I know you're heading off. Back to term, so kind of new starts for some people, new schools, new year groups, new youth groups. It's all here. It's all change, isn't it, for a load of you? And it's also something new for us as a church because we are in our new building, which is just phenomenal. It's not wearing off on me, the amazingness, the goodness of this. The blessing of air conditioning. There's more blessings than that probably, but right now, today, that's a big one. And as a leadership team, really for the last, I'd say, I was going to say 9 months, but it's probably almost a year now, we've been just working on something with God, quite slowly, praying it through, talking it through, seeking help from other people as well, about who we are as a church. Kind of what defines us as a church. If you were to kind of cut us through like a piece of rock, what's written on every layer as a church? And today I'm going to be kicking off just a three-week series on that. And it's really about how God has shaped us over the years, so almost a statement of who we are. It's also a calling to what we feel God is calling us to, and what God has got for us in the weeks, months, years, decades to come. Most of what we look at today will be reminders. It will be almost kind of making statements of things that we probably already know about ourselves, but hopefully in helpful, succinct ways. Some of it will be encouragements to do more and to step further into the identity that God is calling us to. So if we could click on to the next slide. To begin with, really the overarching emphasis here is that New Life we love. At New Life we love. And I'm always grateful when the service so far has almost taken on the first couple of points that I'm going to make, because the songs that we've sung, See His Love is Furious, the verses that have been brought, the way that Lisa led us into that, are the points I want to make, because when we're talking about love, it can be quite easy for us to slip into a kind of a lovey-dovey, slightly weak, slightly romantic rom-com idea of what love is. But already example today for us is what God's love looks like. His love is strong and powerful and mighty and ferocious. And it's his love that drove Jesus to the cross for us. It's not weak. It's the absolute opposite. It is the ultimate power in the universe because our God is love. So can we start by reading the Bible? Good. So if we click on to the next slide, this is a well-known verse, a well-known passage. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledges, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." In some ways, this is the foundation of where our heart is. Because if you look at this verse, some of these things are things that as church leaders, you could really aspire to. Each one of those could be things that you could hunger and desire after them. And none of them are bad things, but none of them are the thing. You know, as church leaders, we could be like, we want to see the church filled with prophetic words all the time, and we want to be the known church to go to as being super spiritual. But if we haven't got the foundation of love, it means nothing. As church leaders, we could focus purely on social outreach and social justice. Make that our mission statement day in, day out. It's not a bad thing, it's a great thing, but if it's not based on the foundation of love, it leaves us with nothing. We could say that as a church, we want to be the wisest church. We want our preachers and our teachers to be renowned across the world, that people will flock to us to receive our wisdom. And we want to gain fame in that way. But you know, if that's not built on a foundation of love, then it's worthless. So foremost, we want to be a church known because we love. At New Life, we love. In that ferocious, sacrificial, powerful, strong, incredible, God-style love. So here we go. Can we click on? Our heart and our desire is to share the love of God with every home in North Walsham. Now, if you sat here and you don't live in the NR28 postcode or you live in a village, I'm not saying you have no place in this church, because you have a place to your neighbours as well, absolutely. But it just reads well like this. But our heart and our desire is to share the love of God with every home in North Walsham. This is a big and wide and vast statement. It's ongoing. People move in and move out. We'll be doing it until Jesus comes again. But it is also directional. How do we show this? How do we show this individually? So walking to school or to the bus stop or standing in line at Lidl. In your workplace, at the doctor's surgery. But also corporately as a church, how do we outwork this? How can we do more to share God's love across the town? Where do we start? Well, have you ever heard the phrase, you can't pour from an empty cup? Heard that one? Good. It starts with us. And it starts with our individual, personal relationship with Jesus. And this leads us on to these four banners here and what we have here behind us. Because the outworking of these will become that. And it starts with us and God. So if we click on, because to begin with, as a people, we have to love Jesus. He has to be the fuel for everything that we do. When Jesus was asked in Mark chapter 12, what is the most important commandment? His response was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love God. And this is fundamentally, it's an individual, it's a heart thing. Nobody can force you to love anybody. That's not how it works. It's a decision that we make day in, day out. And really, as a church, we want to start by just encouraging one another in that. In that love for Jesus, by singing songs of truth, by reading the word, by discussing the goodness of God in our life. To truly love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Only you know what that looks like in your life. Only you know what's going on between you and God on the inside. I know all too well how easy it is to have a Sunday mask at times and know that my life during the week looks a bit of a mess. But we are called as a people of God to love our God. And naturally, as we step into that, there will just be practical outworkings of it too. We apply that mindset to other relationships, don't we? So I've got children, I can say that I love them, but if none of my actions reflect that, you would question the heart behind it. Same with friendships, same with marriages. It's the same with God. And there's just practical outworkings that we will see corporately and individually as a church. So in our worship, when we gather together on a Sunday to bring our sung worship before God, it's an act of love to him. But I would encourage you as well, individually, to somehow develop a personal life of worship. That mindset of worship, in everything you do it for him. Through the reading of God's word, God speaks to us through his word. We believe that it's active and alive. Through his spirit, he brings power into the word that we read. And we'll do that again corporately. We read the Bible quite a lot together. But there's that encouragement, guys, to read your Bible, to know more about him. It's difficult to love somebody if you don't know them. You might not love the real one. You need to know him to love him. Through prayer. Prayer is us talking to God. Again, if I was to say, oh, I love that person, but I never, ever, ever make time to speak to them, it wouldn't make sense. But we have direct access into the throne room of the King, and we can speak to our Maker, our Saviour, and our Sustainer. And also through service. Through serving one another, through serving the town, through serving him. Jesus set the ultimate example of how to serve as a demonstration of love for us. So at New Life Church, we love Jesus. It feels like an obvious first step for a Christian church to make that statement, but we're gonna make it and always come back to it, because we don't want to move on to anything else if we haven't got love at the foundation. And the overflow of God's people loving him is that there will be a natural love for one another. If we click on to the next step, because the next point is that we love one another. We love one another. John 13, 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This isn't basic. This isn't something that we just tick off on a sheet. This is essential. It was essential to Jesus. He literally said, this is how the world will know that you're mine. This is how you will step into the authenticity of Christian life, by the way you love one another. People will look at that love. The town will look at our love for each other, and it will edify the message that we're bringing. In the letters that are written to the early church, time and time again, more than loads of other teachings that we put a lot of weight on, is just that heart and that message for the early church to get on, to stop grumbling, to submit to one another, to love each other, to care for each other, to shoulder each other's burdens, to be kind and gentle to one another. At New Life Church, we want to love one another really, really well. And again, this starts with just that heart, doesn't it? Starts with that heart. I know that feeling of just, I find that person difficult. So I've got to commit to praying and asking God and the Holy Spirit to work and change my heart. How do we speak to each other? How do we lead each other? How do we submit to each other? How do we serve one another? And there is this practical outworking of this. And actually, a practical outworking of loving one another well is spending time with each other. Is being with one another. Not all day, every day, that's too much. But Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." How do we spur one another on toward love and good deeds? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. The writer of Hebrews is really clear. One way that we express the love and spur each other on in love is just by being together. And an outworking of that is Sunday mornings. Come to church. Be here for each other. Support one another. There'll be times where you need to come and be the one being supported and held up and lifted up by the body. And there'll be other times where you need to come and you need to shoulder that with other people and lift them up. Our small groups is where we really live life with each other at times. Where we bring the reality of things, the hardship of things, where we pray and where we support, where at times we cry and we just talk about the good times, but also the really hard times, the reality of living life in this world. I just implore you to commit to a small group. You won't get the benefit of it, 1 in 5, 1 in 6. You won't. And other people won't get the benefit of you, 1 in 5, 1 in 6. They won't. But that week in, week out, reality of being with each other, I can testify to the goodness of that. We love each other, or we love one another with our harvest and our kids' work. You know, the leaders of our kids' team serving week in, week out, just pouring love into the kids of this church. The time and effort and energy that Barney and Emma have, pouring time into the energy, into the love of the youth in this church. It's such a demonstration, it's such a heart of love. And it's wonderful. Teams, we have so many teams, so many little rotas going on across the church. And each one just becomes like little mini families. Some of it's easy, some of it's hard. It's all good. And it's just wonderful. It's just incredible opportunities just to serve each other, but also to serve the town and the body of the church. It's glorious. And I would again encourage you, there are teams that you can be part of, teams that you can be involved in. So an example, a demonstration of how we love one another. And then just church family. We've said this before. That actually in You Love Church, we want to be known not just as a club or a group, but we want to be known as a people who see each other as family. Spending life together as well, outside of all the structured things, outside of all the organised things, but walks together, dinners together, beach together. Just being with one another. We want to be a church that loves each other, loves one another, so well that people want to be part of this community. That actually from the outside looking in, it looks good. It looks glorious. It looks like something that you want to be a part of. And I know at times, not so much in this church, but at times when I have felt on the outside of things, I've had to really take a look and go, what am I involved in? What am I involved in? And realize that actually to be part of this, you have to step into it. And we've said it before, we'll say it again. We're not an inward-looking family. We want to be an outward-looking family that looks at how we can bring people into this family. An adoptive family, if you will. And that takes us on to our next point, which is that we love our town. We freaking love this town. We love North Horsham. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? The first was love the Lord your God with all your heart. But he threw in a second. He said, the second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. Love your neighbour as yourself. Now as a church, I think there are areas that we show this and demonstrate this week in, week out so well. Corporately, we've got the attic. We've got tots. We've got Parent Cafe, we've got Quiz and Chips, we've got our Easter and our Christmas events. And I will keep coming back to this, but I was amazed at how God used those outreach events to completely turn the tide on our planning permission to be in this building. How actually us demonstrating our love for the town so well was fundamental in changing the tide for us being able to now be here in the morning. Those are the group things, but there's also that individual heart response that we all have, that we pray for the town. We pray for those in leadership in the town. We take sharing the gospel seriously. Sometimes I just have to remind myself that we've got a job to do here as Christians as well. The way we interact with our neighbours, the way we discuss things with the schools, the way we are with the doctors or with the council. It'd be great to know that actually as a church we go out into the local area, into the places, and we just, like Ian was saying last week, we just take that light to wherever we go. So that when people kind of go, start making links, well, that person goes to that church, and that person goes to that church, and that person, there's something different about that person. Because of the way we are loving the town. And as we love this community that we are in, that we live life alongside, we lift our eyes and we look outwards. Because the final point here is that we love the nations. Now, when we're talking about the nations, this includes the one that we live in. So it includes the UK. But Mark 28 says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples of all nations. This goes well beyond just our UK borders. Now, there are things that we currently do as a church, and some of these you might not be aware of, but we give financially, really quite sacrificially as a church, to different areas that impact the nation. So we support Niš in Serbia. We give very sacrificially to Relational Mission, who also support different areas across the world, pioneering areas. We have historically got involved in different things of fundraising. So think about the generators for the Ukraine. We've raised money for wells being dug in Africa. And of course, we do the annual Christmas shoebox as well. But more than that, more than finances, more recently, we as a church, me personally, have been faced with the very real challenge and sacrifice of having to release a really well-loved couple into a new nation. Because next summer, Martin and Irena are planning on moving to Serbia to support the church out there. And that's costly. It's costly for us as a church. We're going to take a hit on that. It's costly for me and Susie. It's costly for us as individuals. There's a lot of personal cost involved in that. And I must admit, when Martin first told me this many months ago, I wasn't very happy. But we love the nations. And if we love the nations in the way that we're meant to, then it is going to involve cost. All of this involves cost. It is going to involve sacrifice. All of this involves sacrifice. We're also aware that we think this is an area as a church we can do more in. This is an area of a church we could step more into. What else can we do as a church to demonstrate and show that love for the nations? What else can you do as individuals to demonstrate and share that love for the nations? Which I guess leads me onto this next point. What can I do? What can I do? Well, it starts with the heart. Starts with the heart. In fact, worship team, could I get you guys to come up again? If you guys could just minister to us, that'd be great. It starts with the heart. And it starts at the beginning of asking us these individual personal questions, because it has to start with, do I love Jesus? No, that's just an individual question. Before you do anything else, before you look at anything else, before you put your name on any rotas or look at whether or not you come to church more, all of those things are secondary to that primary question of, do I love Jesus? If you're not sure of the answer to that today, then I would love to, Glenn would love to, a lot of people here would love to just walk that through with you, talk about what that looks like. Do I love Jesus? Do I love the other people in this church? I'm not asking you to say that one out loud. It doesn't mean we won't at times disagree with each other. I know that. But do I love the other people in this church? Is my heart for them? You know, when somebody's suffering, do I suffer alongside them and shoulder that burden? Do I pray for them? Do I support them? Do I make a meal for them? Do I reach out to them? Do I love this town? 15 years ago, I did not love this town. I did not love this town. I did not want to move here at all. Went to a weekend away and God just changed my heart for this place just over the course of a couple of days. And actually the reason for that is for many people sat in this room. Just spending a weekend at Peakfield with you guys changed my heart. And God changed my heart and I love this town. I love the schools. I love the streets. I love the buildings. I love the people. Do you love this town? And then, do I love the nations? Outside of the borders of the UK, and that's a really hot topic at times and has been particularly across our country over the last few years, do I love people outside of this nation? People who don't speak the same language as me, people who don't look the same as me. Different backgrounds, different upbringings. Do I love the nations? Because we've got people from the nations in this room, but also in our town. How well do we love them when we see them? How well do we reach out? It's a heart issue. And actually, the fuel for our love for any of these areas starts with Jesus. 1 John 4:16 says, "We know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us." It's the beginning. We'll be there at the end. His love for us. If I could get you all to stand with me, that would be lovely. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to zoom in on some of these areas a little bit more. Just some practical outworkings, things that we can do. Groups that are in desperate need of help. Teams that are really struggling across the church and just need more people. But before we can even start to think along those lines, we want to get our hearts right with God. I want to get my heart right with God. Before I look at the doing, I've got to look inwards at my heart. And I just encourage you, as we come back into this place of worship, to look at those points and to kind of ask the Holy Spirit to highlight areas. It's been a work of therapy for me and is ongoing. But to highlight those areas of God, where do I need more of your love so that I can step out into this more? You won't be able to do it by yourself, I promise you. But you will be able to do it in the power of his strength and his might, with him demonstrating his love for you first. I'm just going to pray for us, and we're just going to come back to him. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you where, when there was nothing lovable about us, you still went to the cross for us. And you redeem us, and you clean us, and you make us whole in you. You set our feet on a solid ground, a rock and a firm foundation, based on your love for us. Jesus, I do pray if there's anybody here that is questioning your heart for them, will you reveal it afresh, God, I pray. That your ferocious, powerful, mighty, awesome love will pour into them. God, help us as a church to be a church who share that love, the love of God, with every house, every home in North Horsham. Lead us and guide us, Lord, as we love you, as we love one another, as we love this town, and as we love the nations. Help us to step into what you're calling us to. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your power, because we cannot do this without you.